Simon Tov Reish Gimel Sif Aleph. The Halacha is of Aseh Simit Shuva. Moving on to say the Erev Makipurim as well as Mina Kaporos. So interesting Halachas tonight. Beis Hashem is Baruch Shemoy. I want to start with the what we finished off yesterday. This fascinating Halacha that one should refrain from Pas Akum during Aseh Simit Shuva. As we discussed yesterday, and the Mishavu explains it, that really, assuming that ingredients are fine, but we're not talking about non-kosher ingredients, of course, we're talking about kosher ingredients. So the halacha is that bread which is made by a goyish baker is also, because, well, it's not really also, Chachamim wanted to answer it, but it was felt that it's a gzeiro she'en roi v'atzibri cholim lamoid boy. Shara bitachon, sium?
No.
Oh, no. But they felt that it's a gzeiro which is a bit too much.
Switch it off.
So it was a and therefore the Chum said, all right, it's a chumrah, don't worry if you can't keep it. Now, but during Aseh Simit Shuva, the minhag is, a person should refrain from eating past Akum. Habai said the question is obvious. Whoever is... before the question, Mishnah does point out there is a halacha that you should travel 72 minutes, 4 minutes, which is the equivalent of 72 minutes to, if it's further than that, don't get pesachum. So I always say if a person is spends his holidays in a place which is further away than 72 minutes of Pas Yisrael, such as he goes to the north of Scotland or the south of Spain, Lahavdil, and he goes, and there is no kosher bread within 4 million, which is the equivalent of 72 minutes travel. He does not really need to. That's how far a person has to go. A person doesn't have to go further than that. Now, what's the question over here is the following: what's the point? The question is as follows: be consistent. Like, if you're normally eating Pas Akum, so eat Pas Akum. Certainly you want to be all holy. During those 10 days, you want to pretend that you are from... The halacha is, even if you are not going to pull through after Yom Kippur, this is not about long-term commitment. No. We're not talking about... You know very well that he may... This individual knows very well he's going to refrain from eating Pas Akum for those 10 days. He's going to go to Kingsmill. He's going to go to Kingsmill's bread again after Sukkot. So the what's the point then? It sounds really dishonest. If you're okay with Pas Akum, so by all means, stick to it. Just because now it's the day of judgment, you want to be all... No! You're eating it, so do it consistently. Do you hear the question? I think it's a good question. It's not talking about commitments for good. What's the point? So I want to share with you an answer which I heard from Ashver, which I think is a very nice answer. Ashver told me the following answer. You heard it, I think, from our Feldman. He said like this. He said that emotional mal of Adoyme. He said that there is a boat. Person has got a boat, and he's docking. Is it called docking? Yeah, you're docking a boat with ropes, big ropes. So naturally, what happens is you pull the rope.
Mooring.
That's it. And then it's tight. You put as close as possible to the dry land, to the shore, and then you put... But what happens is, if you leave it like this for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, you understand, it's going to get looser and looser. It will get looser. And although it was tight at the beginning, you did it really tight, but after a bit of time, it naturally gets a little bit loose. It will get loose. So what happens is, if you leave it like this for another month, what's going to happen is it's going to go altogether loose, and eventually it will free itself loose completely, and it's going to go down the stream. Very literally, it's going to go down the river. He says, therefore, what any yachtsman is going to do, he's going to pull the string. When it gets a bit looser, he's going to tie it off again, he's going to tighten it again. He will not say, well, it's anyway going to go loose after a few months, why am I bothering? No. The point is, you've got to, every now and then, you've got to make that extra step to tightening a little bit. So Mashmeh tells me to say I'm a Seisim in Tshuva. It's true. Of course, you know that eventually these chumas are not going to last. They're not going to last forever. Of course, the past akum is going to last forever. But every now and then, you have to pull yourself and tighten yourself a little bit. And then, because if you don't do it, that then eventually gets loose and loose and loose and loose and loose until a person, Chas v'Sholom, goes down the river. So a person is going to make every year a bit of an extra effort just to retighten himself a little bit. I think it's a very nice marshal. Because the Ramah continues and says, I mean the Ramah, bottom, last word of the page. V'yesh, l'chol adam l'chapez l'fasfez b'maisov. There is a person, this is very interesting, this is a halacha here. A person has to, l'chapez is to seek, and has to ponder and consider his actions. For lo shum and b'seh esim etshuva, and he has to tshuva during aseh esim etshuva. Rabbi said, it's a halacha. Ramah tells us you've got to do, top of page 140, person's got to do tshuva during aseh esim etshuva. Right. Furthermore, for sofik averet zorich yoyis tshuva ma'ir avadois. What do you think you need to do more tshuva? Do you need to do more tshuva on when you know for a fact that what you ate was you ate once, perhaps even by mistake, you ate once, something, well, it wasn't kosher. It just wasn't kosher. You by mistake ate, you didn't realize, but it was Mars bar. You didn't realize. You thought it's the.
Because you're talking about the. I must say something. I know it's nothing to do with the. A few days ago, there was a big rabbi in Israel, Sfaradi, one of the biggest rabbi. He gave a drusha.
Okay.
And he was. Somebody mentioned about the corona. One of the people said, I don't believe in corona, whatever, you know what I mean. And he said to him, how come you don't believe in corona? 6,000 people died from corona. You majnun, you crazy, you mishuga, you know, he went for this guy.
Okay.
But the question is millions of people doesn't believe in the corona. You know, there's evidence, there's no corona. So even if there is, you know, respect the guy. Don't
call you have him. To respect people. That's very good. That's a good example.
One minute. Don't call him majnun or mishuga.
To embarrass him in public.
Everybody. How come this is door to door?
He could be embarrassing somebody. Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's only this. Many dolim
embarrassed with him.
You know, Sadigura family, they were fighting each other. They was beating the mother up.
Oh, really?
So how come these people went to
so this? I don't know. I've never seen a tzaddik who embarrasses somebody in public. I mean,
no,
I think
generally. No. What the rabbi was speaking today, and he said it can happen from a few reasons. If somebody doesn't eat kosher, it's Nishuma, it's God like
him. Yeah.
And you, he doesn't know what you're talking about. You can tell him, you know, not talk to him in shul. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He carry on talking. He doesn't eat kosher. Even
gets numb, Tim-tum.
Let's say there was oven, you cook something in the oven, the meat, and after that somebody came and used the cheese inside, it wasn't no meat. It's also, or somebody used a pot. He didn't keep Shabbat. He was cooking something in Shabbat.
On Shabbat.
And you come and you make egg, kosher egg, kosher oil, everything is kosher, but you use this treif pot.
Right.
Or even the guy was using on Shabbat, was cooking on Shabbat, this treif.
Treif, yeah.
And you was doing the egg there, absolutely kosher.
Okay.
Kosher. But because it's considered not kosher, so your neshama
gets. Yeah, you're right. This is
so these people can talk. Doesn't know that this the difference between good and bad.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons. The other reason is nida. If somebody has a chalila, it's bad.
Sure.
No, it's not even if you touch somebody, he was with a woman, and she doesn't keep nida, and you shake his arm.
What the Ramah says over here is that if somebody has a vadai, for sure he ate something which was non-kosher. Yeah, what was the example you gave? Somebody not kosher, it was not kosher. You know, so fact it was not kosher. He has to do tshuva. Okay? What happens if he's not sure what he ate was kosher or not? Does he also need to do tshuva? He's not sure. It could be it was a maspa with heksha or a maspa without heksha. He wasn't sure. He just chucked. He's eaten it. He chucked the wrapping. Does he need to do tshuva? Yes or no?
Probably yes.
Probably yes. Now my question is, which tshuva is more serious? The one with the wrapping, or the one that is the safek aveya, or the former case of a vada aveya? Which one? Which tshuva is more? Needs more tshuva. Which avera requires a greater tshuva? The vadai or the sofek chet?
The sofek.
So why?
Because if it's sofek, you might say, well,
it does. Says the Rama Rabbeisai. Look what the Rama says. Top of page 140. Sofek avera. So if yoisa tshuva me avera vadois. If a person is not sure he did an avera, he needs more tshuva than if he's for sure. For fact, he knows as a complete 100% certain that he's done avera. Ki yoisem is charet. A person is naturally more inclined to do, to have charot, to regret. Kshoidea shosa. Mishenia, the person naturally feels really bad. He's done something wrong. He has eaten this Mars bar without actually feels rotten about it. How could I have eaten this? He switched on the light on Shabbat. He said, I'm such a... but if he's not sure, maybe yes, maybe not. He's not. It was probably okay at the end of the day. He's Mitzar of Svaris and everything. He's not going to do proper tshuva. Therefore, Lochein Korban Osham Tolui, which is on a Sofek, Hutzach Lios Yoise Yoike Mechatos. We know there's two Korbanos which is brought in the Beis HaMikdash. One was a Korban Chatos, which is done for a, is okay? The Korban Chatos, which is on a Vadai Chet. The person did a Chet Beshoik, he brings a Korban Chatos. The person does a Sofek Chet, he's got to bring an Osham Tolui. Osham Tolui is more expensive. Person has to bring on a suffix, a more expensive carbon than on a vadai. Now, Rabbi said, the Mishnah Berurah brings a couple of interesting halachas in Sif Cotton Base. I'm reading the words because of its importance. Sif Cotton Base. V'yesh lechol adam here, naseh simet tshuva. Go naseh simet tshuva. Rabbi said, person must do tshuva, and naseh simet tshuva. V'yesh lechol adam, kos v'rosh, shikro be'elu ayom be'geres at tshuva shel Rabbeinu Yoina. Person should read the Rabbeinu Yoina. Igeres at tshuva of Rabbeinu Yoina during those days. It's a well-established minik. And the yeshivas to do so. V'ari kosav shechiyuv lilmoed tzifrei Musa kol hashana. He says the whole year you should really learn Musa. V'chein kosav agor b'mishta v'kam m'koy mois ma'asei rab. The Vilna Gaon also holds very, 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 holds it's very important to learn Musa from every day. V'al kol ponim, at least. Be'elu ayomim yasei kol odom kidas hazoya, sh'yoshuv kodim sh'yishka. He says, you know, at least, if you can't learn, look at that, Mishnah, if you can't learn Musa every day, at the very least, what you should do is before you go to bed, sheyishkav, sheyoshuv kodim sheyishkav. A person should, at the very least, if you can't do tshuva, I can hear myself. It's bad enough to hear me once. I don't hear myself twice. I can hear myself. Oh, I see, okay. So, the Mishnah Berurah says, what a person should do is to do a little bit of teshuva before he goes to bed. Every single night. He says it's a very, very important aspect of a person's aliyah. And the reality is that that's the video that we say every night before we go to sleep. It's based on that. So he says that the best, of course, every person should learn Musa every day. The person cannot learn Musa, at least before he goes to bed, think about what happened during the day. Has he offended anybody during the day? Yeah, that's what you're mentioning. Has he hurt somebody? Did he do, it does a bit of a cheshbon nefesh every night. Mishnah Berurah recommends this as a very important aspect of a person's face. And it brings the Aris Dvash as well. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah says, with regards to, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Ntalat, Rabbi Sai, do you remember, Sifkot Ntalat, Mishnah Berurah brings over here, hey, fascinating, do you remember the terrible tragedy that took place in India, in Bombay a few years ago? Yeah, how could we forget? Yeah. Okay, so do you remember Rabbi Isai? Do you remember Rabbi Isai? It was a tragedy. There was one shaila there, which was the following shaila. Do you remember? Well, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah first. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says he's forgotten Dalet. So he's moving away. We've spoken about Seisim Tshuva. We've spoken about Tshuva every night before going to sleep. And the important Maseiyas Yimetshuva being extra machmir. Okay, these are all really important facts. Mishnah over here brings another few alochas on the side. On the side, it's a side point. And he says this for you. What happens if somebody hired somebody to go away to do a job for him, and he gets killed. Chas v'sholem. Nochon shekabel tshuva, it's proper that he should be mekabel tshuva. He brings a Be'er Sheva, he brings a Maram Lublin, Giv Ashol, right. And then he brings in other examples as well, in an Iso Shemiso, Yeled Adegram, what if a lady by mistake also killed, yeah, Shum Shasam Sofer, we got some Moel, who Chas v'sholem Moel, didn't do his job properly, and an accident happened. Other Isurim was Nidabe Oynes, various tragic, very serious mistakes that happened, which we'll discuss over here. The first case, somebody hires a person and he dies. Is there any responsibility on the person who sent the person who ultimately got killed? Is there any responsibility on him? Okay. Interesting question. And you thought, well, that sounds like from the 1250s. You know, when somebody hires somebody to do a job and he gets killed on the way, that's like, Middle Ages, you know, Crusades in our minds, that's the kind of thing. Well, this was exactly the shaila that was discussed in that terrible, terrible tragedy that took place. But was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? How many years ago was this already? 9 years ago? Serious? 19 years ago? 15 years ago? Wow, well, it's getting... Wow, okay, good. Okay, so one of the people that was murdered there was a Kashas Mashkiach. Do you remember that? Yeah, I've forgotten his name. Right. He was a Mashkiach, Kashas, who was actually traveling to do some important job for some Kashas organizations. Okay. He was literally hired by a Kashas organization who paid him to pay his tickets and pay his journey, pay his time to travel. It wasn't his, you know, it's a very unpleasant journey to go to India. It's a very unpleasant journey to go to India and then carry on the journey to do Kashas, on a Kashas mission, to check out the factories and the ingredients. Now, the question was, does the Kashas authority, Nebuch, on his way, he was murdered because of this terrible, he was murdered on the way. So the question is there any...
He stopped to Mincha,
I don't know the details anymore. But this question was a question discussed over here. Does the Kashas authority, the messengers, the Rabbonus, the Rabbonim, the Beis Din who sent him, do they have any, or it was maybe the company that commissioned it, I forgot now, do they have any ownership in his tragedy? And the answer is, based on what we're seeing now, yeah?
Only if they could have foreseen
No, no, no. The answer is, look at the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Echad, shesocha chaveiroi leilech baderech venerak. Somebody who sent somebody on a journey, on a trip, on a mission, and he got killed on the way. Nochon, it is proper sheikabel teshuva, that he should accept teshuva. Of course, he didn't willingly kill him, and of course, he doesn't have the full responsibility of that accident, but some responsibility lie within them, and they've got to do tshuva for that terrible, terrible, terrible feeling, unimaginable feeling. But the Mishnah Berurah paskens like this achon that there is an ownership in that. There's guys from the Gemara for that. I just want to share that with you because. Pardon.
But I always thought if you're going to do a mitzvah of protection, he was on his way to do a mitzvah.
Yeah, good question, excellent question, very good question. Shluch mitzvah nizokin. You're right. So there's various answers to that question. Perhaps the simple answer is that when a person gets paid for a job, then often the concept of shluch mitzvah doesn't apply. Additionally, also there is questions. Well, this is not straightforward. At times, there's a special tchus on a person that if he's meis b'derech mitzvah, there's a special tchus as well. Okay, it's not for now. Okay, we continue. Simon Tov Reish Dalet. And boys, I just think it's an interesting ma'amakim over here. So Simon Tov Reish Dalet tells us the halachos of Erev Yom HaKippurim. Okay, Erev Yom HaKippurim. Okay, mitzvah lechol b'Erev Yom HaKippurim l'ha b'sudah. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Not that we would normally be fasting in Erev Yom Kippur. We all probably would would think of it ourselves to eat an Yom Kippur. But here the Chiddush is that it's actually a mitzvah. Various reasons in the Rishonim are mentioned why it's a mitzvah to eat on the Erev Shonah. I believe four or five reasons. Simple reason is because why is it a mitzvah to eat? Preparation for the fast. Ben Yoni brings because there's a mitzvah to eat on every Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. You can't eat on Yom Kippur because you got to fast. So what about the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov? Well, you do it on the 10th, on the 9th. You don't have so other reasons as well mentioned the Rishonim. So either way, it was a mitzvah to eat. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you look at the end of Sifkot Na'alef, mitzvah mina Torah lechol b'yom Kippurim, it is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat, and that mitzvah is not just a minhag. Not just the Rabbanon, it's a mitzvah that he rises to eat on Yom Kippurim. There's extensive discussion who, what, when, and where. Do women have a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippurim? Is it a mitzvah? Probably yes. Is it considered a time bound mitzvah? That women are not obligated? Perhaps. Exactly.
Well,
like, so the Sefer says what you're saying.
Like Pesach.
Pardon?
It's like on Pesach, eating matzah on the first night is time bound, but yet a woman is chayv to do it.
Yeah, so a bit similar. Yeah, so it's because you're kid, because they're a bit similar. Yeah, so basically what Rav Frankel says, because I'm sure for the Bekivik can speak about it, that since there is a since they are obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, so everything which is connected to that itself. Everything which connects to that mitzvah of fasting, they're also part of that. Therefore, they might be obligated to eat an Yom Kippur.
They're
credited
to this fasting for 2 days.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the Mishnah, that it's considered if you're fasting both days. Correct. Now, what happens if somebody made the neder to fast on that day? Im not alis anus boy, that's discussed in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin. Now, I just want to mention with regards to the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim. What is the halacha if a person? What's the halacha with regards to a person who is there any mitzvah to eat small amounts? Do you know, in yeshiva there was those bochim would always like eat like nash and sweets and chocolates the whole Erev Yom Kippur because it's a mitzvah to eat. So if you eat constantly, like a little chocolate and a little sweet and a little thing, you make kind of more and more mitzvahs. Is that pshat? You're medayik. What are you medayik? Mitzvah lechol be'avim akipurim, but laharbois besuda. So pashtus, that's not what laharbois besuda means. Laharbois besuda means that you need to have more than the basics of a meal. It's within the suuda that it's really referring. You need to have extra fish or extra dessert or something. Yom HaDayek, that it might mean that you should the whole Erev Yom Kippur should eat. I don't know. Pashtos, doesn't mean that. The Mishnah also reminds us that Yesh Adam Lemayit Belimudu Be'Erev Yom HaKippurim. A person should not learn so much, and they should learn a little bit less than Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara brings a Meister that, who was it? That only twice a year he would send the learners home, and that was one of the twice a year. Who was it? Rebbe Akiva. To send on Erev Yom Kippur, send everybody on Kippur to because people have got to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat. Mitzvah to eat. Right, okay. To summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the halacha that a sesim etshuva person must do, teshuva. We learned about, the Ramos says, pas palta to refrain, even if it's just a sesim etshuva person should do, lechapes, vipaspes, myself. Sofik avera requires more teshuva than a vada avera. We spoke about doing teshuva every night throughout the whole year, to do teshuva before going to sleep. We spoke about the interesting shayla of the Be'er Sheva if somebody was sent and he died on the way. We spoke about the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim and to increase the suda. We spoke about the fact that it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. You know, on the normal Shabbos, you don't have a mitzvah to eat. On the normal Yom Tov, you don't have a mitzvah to eat. Here, on Erev Yom Kippur, you've got a mitzvah to eat. It's very interesting. My shvager once pointed out to me, it's true. And it's like once a year that people are not so hungry. Whenever it's Erev Yom Kippur, I don't know how you feel. Every Erev Yom Kippur, I'm not so hungry. Pardon? Too busy and not settled and everything. What? lachas. People are not hungry. People are not hungry. So it's so typical because it's a mitzvah to eat, and then people suddenly are not eating. It's just so typical. That's the way it works. Okay, Rabbi Sayyid, wish you a very pleasant evening.